Don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. You know, he's not trying to make trouble. He's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team. Things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, things will be better. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mike Wilson, he can't understand. Parker and Wilson.
Oh, it's a filet. Rob's cooking himself a filet. We're coming to you for this podcast, and welcome to it. Willkommen, all you peoples, this Halloween week. Hoo-hoo, scary, 2013. From Rob's compound, the villa where we are actually upstairs in the grand kitchen, as opposed to the other kitchens Rob has in the villa. And he's currently, we like to hold nothing back, currently making himself a nice piece of filet.
Oh.
Oh, make it come undone, Rob Parker,
You already know.
Woo!
What do we say? When the company pays,
we eat filets.
And the company ain't paying today, but I'm still eating a filet.
Ah, the company you keep. But it is Halloween week of this 13. Super scary. Be careful on Thursday. Supposed to rain, but 60 degrees. I see you're wearing a Parker and the Man 97.1 FM Talk sweatshirt. Sports night with Parker of the Man. Bah!
Rob, I was one of the best stuff, didn't I? Remember, I always had
how much of that you got left? Anything?
Yeah, I got a few things. I'm not gonna. Some of them are really good. I like the stuff.
I'll tell you how we're gonna start, because I said we would do this for the last four podcasts or five even, and we're just gonna jump into it right off the bat, which is we're gonna do the little. It's not so much a contest, but you have a chance now to win yourself an official ESPN Detroit black T-shirt. It's the black T-shirt. It's the one every kid wants on the block. Rob, I think you have an ESPN Detroit black T-shirt.
I do. And I'm still holding on to it because it has Detroit on it.
Well, since we are no longer ESPN Detroit at the radio station, it's NBC Sports Radio Detroit. I have no
NBC.
NBC you later. I saw that last night on my little sports final edition thing. NBC you later.
Literally.
There'll be a lot of things in this world of ours. But I have a number of these ESPN Detroit T-shirts available. So here's the situation. If you email us at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com, I'll be posting this on the Facebook and Twitter as well. The first person to do so, because we can see it on the time thing, obviously you can tell when the emails come in. First person to do it, and we'll do a little rub to this, Rob. Ready for the rub, Rob? It's a we call it the Rob Rub. You have to, excuse me, you have to just say any or type any of the Rob-isms, any of Rob's signature taglines. It can be anything you want. First one to do that gets the shirt. You have an ESPN thing. Can I get some water?
Yes. You're like choking here. I'm
choked. No, I'm all choked up over doing this. So, you know, it's one of those things where you can say, hey, go get something or other. You know, any of the Rob signature, just a glass of water.
Yeah, I'll give you a glass of water.
Excuse me. What a way to start it. We'll be, what? Yes, that'll be fine. Was that a Lions thing? Oh, Columbia. I saw
Columbia Lions.
I saw Honolulu Blue.
Columbia Lions. That's the nickname.
That's true. They are the Lions. You know, Columbia U out there in New York. Ivy Leaguer. Mr. Ivy League. It's fine. You don't have to keep washing it out. So you got it? ParkerandTheMan@yahoo.com. Any of Rob's signature lines, you are the first to get the ESPN Detroit T-shirt. I don't even think I need ice.
No, it's not. You sure?
Yes, I'm fine. Just give me, I just need that. Thank you. Oh, now we're talking. People, always drink your water. Little tip from your radio pals, Parker and the Man. Your old buddy Mark. He's Rob. You've heard of Bad Grandpa. He's Bad Rob Parker. Bad Grandpa, actually.
Are you talking to my ex-wife?
Let me tell you something about Bad Grandpa. I know I'm getting old because the whole Jackass movie thing. I think it's funny. I get it. $35 million?
This is better than Jackass to me.
Oh, Bad Grandpa is?
Yeah, it is. Because when you dress up a guy to look older, And he's doing these things, and he's got a kid.
You didn't see it yet, did you?
No, I just saw the previews, and I, of course...
You thought it was funny?
Yes, and you know, they always put the best stuff in the previews. You already know that. So you... They never
the, well, the rocket that. Thing he takes off, and the...
And goes through the window, and the kid's in a beauty pageant, and she's acting like a stripper, and he's throwing dollar bills down at her. And the people in the audience are just going, oh my God, like they're just petrified.
I don't know. I'm getting older. I just, you know what?
Don't do that, Wilson. Don't
Johnny
care.
Knoxville. I don't know.
You laughed. You chuckled.
I chuckled, people but I said you couldn't. I don't know that you could drag me kicking and screaming to see that thing. I don't
people,
know.
Things are so bad. People want something to laugh at. Yes? No?
Are we? I suppose they want something to laugh at, but I'm not so sure that's the thing I'd want to be laughing. It just reminded me of my grandfather. And the dude kind of looks like my grandfather. And I thought, can you? No, I can't imagine that.
It's funny you say that. You know what? I have nothing but great memories of my grandfather.
I do too.
I really do, Mark. And you know what his big thing was?
Hey.
He loved the horses, baseball and the horses.
Playing the ponies?
Playing the ponies. So he used to take his grandson. I used to go with him to OTB, off-track betting, Mark. And he would, you know. He'd ask me to pick out a horse. You got a horse? You know, he'd show me the...
We got a horse right here. His name is Paul Revere.
Got a whole, the betting form, and he'd ask me to pick out a horse, and we'd bet money and everything. It used to be exciting for me. I used to hang out with him.
All right, go see Bet Grandpa then. What are you going to do? Fine, go see the thing. All right, so you got it? First one to do it, ParkerTheMan@Yahoo.com gets the ESPN Detroit black T-shirt. You'll be the first in your block to have it, believe me. I don't know how many people actually have these things. And check us out on Twitter at ParkerTheMan. Got the Twitter account.
And also they could go to, can you read that, the Shadow League, for my freshest column up there?
What, Des Bryant is not a hater?
That's right. So check it out, www.theshadowleague.com, and I have a fresh column every Monday.
Fresh.
A fresh column.
Fresh, not an old stale column. All right, let's get with the Lions and the Cowboys and the Des Bryant and the Jason Witten and the... you know what? It was so... There's so much going on, and we'll get to more specifics. Just give me your overview of what you saw yesterday, what you thought of yesterday, what, like your main impressions of the 31-30 comeback victory. Lions were down twice, 10 points in the fourth quarter. Just an overall view.
Lions won. Like I always tell you, I've never changed this. I never discount winning, poo-poo winning. They won at the down the end. But they look like a 500 football team, a mediocre football team that played their way through and made less, you know, they had, what, four turnovers? And the Cowboys at the end, I didn't think they went for the jugular to try to finish off the game. They kind of played it a little, like a lot of coaches did. And I even tweeted this yesterday. This game reminded me of the Patriots-Saints, where the Saints pick off Tom Brady. They go three and out. They're afraid to have Drew Brees throw. You know, you can't throw. Mark, you can't throw in those situations. Why can't you? If you're trying to get a first down in those situations. So I thought they wasted the first two downs, just had a running back run into the pile hoping to get the clock running, but the Lions stopped the clock. So they still had a lot of time, and I even saw with a minute and whatever it was, 20 left. It's a lot of time in football. And you know, you might not be able to move the ball all game, but in those situations, for whatever reason, then you give up a 40-yard pass down the sidelines. You know what I mean? Like, you can't allow the guy to get behind you to be able to make that pass. But anyway, they won. I thought it was more of an indictment on the Cowboys than it was the Lions. I just thought the Cowboys couldn't take advantage. You get four turnovers, Mark. You don't put enough space. You go for threes instead of sevens. And they lost. And that's why they're 4-4 and the Lions are 5-3. They're interchangeable, those two teams. It was funny talking to guys from Dallas, the Dallas writers. They said they were all picking the Lions, and all the Lions writers were picking the Cowboys. Because that's how it is with these two teams. They're just there. They don't make any real moves as far as are they in contention, are they pretenders, are they contenders or pretenders. Both of those teams are not good.
Well, look, I had it as a victory on my sheet. You know that. I said Dallas was a win. So when people were texting me or calling me and saying, what do you think about that, mister? I said, I had him as a win. I had the Lions beating the Cowboys on my sheet done in August.
No sheet.
And since I rarely change anything unless there's major injuries, unless if Kyle Orton were quarterbacking the Cowboys, yes, he is the backup to Tony Romo.
Is he?
Yes. Well, you don't know. Romo plays every down. But Kyle Orton is their backup. If Orton had played, obviously I would have thought. So that's how I would have. It's got to be like a quarterback change. So I don't change much in the course of a season. I hold to what my guns because I do enough research and stuff at the beginning. So far, even with the win, I am one off because I picked the Redskins as a loss and they won that game. I'm one off through the first half of the season. A season I picked 5-11. So right now on my sheet, you'd be looking at 6-10. So they didn't do much on Sunday other than get a victory at home that, in my opinion, they should have had. Now,
even though it was a minute ago, Mark,
how did it look? It didn't look
good. Didn't look good at all. In fact, I got text proof that people were calling me an idiot. There you go, stupid. Cowboys are going to win the game. And I said, it ain't over yet, but okay, if you think so. And sure enough, then everybody had to apologize. I'm thinking, really, over the course of a matter of a point? It's a one-point game. And you don't get what I say I win either way. If the Lions had lost yesterday, I'd be right on line for 5-11 again.
But the bigger thing, and it's funny how things go with just a minute time.
And it's not about me, people.
Matt Stafford, the way you look at him, Mark, for 1 minute, it's unbelievable how life is. Had they lost that game two in a row to Cincinnati and Dallas at home, and Matthew Stafford had a couple of picks and, you know, some other stuff that people didn't like, people would be looking at him today as like, he's not the guy.
Absolutely.
Am I right? He's not the guy.
The difference between a one-point win and a one-point loss. You know, Dallas, we said the same thing about whatever team you follow. You're never going to like how you lose.
That's one of your best lines.
Never going to like it. Whether you win, we said it with the Tigers in the ALCS, whether you lose 2-1 or 102 to 101, you're never going to like the way that happens. Or even if you get blown out. Sometimes it's actually, some fans actually like it better when you get blown out. Because a blowout, you just forget it, move on to the next week, we don't even think about it, you know, re-rack the thing and let's start all over again. Whereas a one-point loss, you go, God, so close, and you did pick all day, and you try to find the reasons. Well, you can do the same with a one-point win. And we'll be doing that in a second. Because two things I'm surprised about. Number one, I am surprised that the Lions could overcome four turnovers. When you look at the numbers, and to think that the Lions are just the second team in the last 56 one of these things, which is to be a turnover margin of -4, whether it be no turnovers to 4 or 3-7, it doesn't matter. It was a -4 turnover margin. To win a game is very rare in the NFL, as exampled by the fact that it's now 2-54 in the last 56 of these, you know, since 2011, when there's been a 4 turnover margin. Not just most. 99% of the times you lose these games.
You should lose. If
you should lose, you lose turnover 4 times. Four different differentials.
Right, four turnover differential, Mark. In the NFL, you shouldn't win.
Okay, that's the first one. The second thing that my observations were, and it has to do with Dallas as well. If I'm Jerry Jones today, this is what I do. And I don't say I'm jettisoning the guy. I'm not saying to fire them, but I certainly am going to put an evil eye on three people. Jason Garrett, the head coach who I've never liked. I thought that was a terrible move. Number two, he has no chops and has done nothing. Monty Kiffin, and your buddy, Rodney Marinelli. You know what? I think by judging what I saw, which is absolutely zero tackle. Oh, that looks good. Rob is now partaking in the filet eating portion of our show. Monty Kiffin and Rod Marinelli have gotten very old very fast because that defense is, and I know they didn't have DeMarcus Ware. In fact, don't forget, people, the Cowboys were without three big names. Miles Austin, DeMarcus Ware, and DeMarco Murray, who would have made huge differences in that football game. Lions were packed. They had pretty much, even Michael Spurlock being out, Jeremy Ross did a pretty nice job. Had the 44-yard punt return, guy they just signed 2 weeks ago, who hadn't played much this season. But, I didn't lose much with Jeremy Ross as opposed to Spurlock. Spurlock's not exactly blowing your doors off. He's had a couple of nice returns this year, but he's not consistent. And he ain't Devin Hester, well, that's for sure. Or that other cat in Denver. But those two guys, if that's the defense they come up with, and here's why I say this. How much better could John Matthew Stafford, and Calvin Johnson have played if nobody had been on the field? How much better could the numbers have been if there was zero players? And by the way, Ernie Sims, the former Lion, is a Dallas Cowboy still.
I can't believe he's still in the league.
He had four tackles yesterday, and he's still the same Ernie Sims. He'll get you tackles, but after the guy's already got 9, 10, 12 yards. He's famous for that. That's why they got rid of him here.
But how in the world can you
play? Marinelli got rid of him.
How in the world can you play single coverage on Calvin Johnson? Did you see the 329 yards? Single coverage?
I didn't see any of them. Did that happen? Yes, obviously. But I think you can, look, we've seen it. You can triple team him and he makes catches. I mean, he is amazing. I mean, how much more glorification can you do on Calvin Johnson? We're all in. Everybody's good. Is he the best ever? Jerry Rice? Not complete yet. I don't. Maybe you got to win something. Rice was part of Super Bowls.
How about playing in a big game first? I mean, like, seriously. No, Mark.
No, are in love with the numbers. The receiving numbers are like chicks digging the long ball.
I'm going to disagree with this, okay? This is no slight.
Disagree with what part?
About the numbers. When you play in games where your quarterback goes 60 times a game, you can be inflated. I'm not talking about the great catches. I'm talking about the numbers. So Matthew Stafford is the fastest quarterback with 15,000 yards of anybody.
In history.
But he throws more than anybody. Other guys have running attacks. You're playing in games. You're not three touchdowns behind where you have to throw to get there. They're also, the defenses are allowing you to throw the ball in front of them.
Plus you're bad, so you're always throwing at the end. So it's a lot of fake yards.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Most of the time.
It's almost like the garbage points you would have if you have a player who's getting 15 and 10 every night or 20 and 10. But, Mark, he's on a bad team, and he's just putting up garbage numbers. None of them are coming in crunch time or coming when the game is on the line. That's all I mean. And I'm not trying to say he's not a great receiver. He is a great receiver. But I'm just saying you got to be careful when you just look at stats.
Look, we'll get to the numbers in a bit, but I want to just go through the game just a little bit here, and I'll let you pick and choose. You can kind of cherry pick through this. It's like being on a hayride in Halloween. You can just go through the straw and see what you like. They started the scoring on that fourth down play where everybody was all of a sudden going to make Scott Linehan the greatest offensive coordinator in history, as if that never can happen. Fourth down touchdown, it doesn't happen here much. Fourth down touchdown pass to Mega after the 87-yard pass play. So on two catches, he had 90 yards. So pretty much less than a quarter of his yards were on the first series of the game. And that's when I really looked at Marinelli and went, Rod, dude, what up, Slick? Is this going to be like this all day? We're going to get 60 minutes of this? Terrible. Then Sean Lee, who I thought worked at Channel 4, but isn't there a Sean Lee or is he at 7? There's somebody. For some reason, that name was familiar. Other than the fact that this guy's a pretty good linebacker in the NFL. Two picks in the first half. He's got 11 for his career, which doesn't happen much for a linebacker this early in a career. He was a defensive player of the week against the Eagles, so it's not like he hasn't done this. But the second set up the Tony Romo to Dez Bryant touchdown, which made it 10-7.
Which was a heck of a catch, Mark.
We know Dez Bryant catches balls, too.
After one-handed catch.
When he ain't yelling at guys, he can catch some passes. The thing that was amazing was that's it. That was the half. I mean, the first half set was 10-7. Who saw what was going to happen in the fourth quarter at that point?
Cowboys had only 95 total yards in the first half, and they had a lead, Mark, 10-7 on the road, which I was thinking to myself, they got to play better than they played, and look at where they are.
In the third, Jeff Heath, if you don't know Jeff Heath, Saginaw Valley State University, Lake Orion High, Dick Stockton got that wrong. He called it Lake Orion and then corrected himself and then screamed, "We need to get that right!" Dick, serious. He got so much wrong. He actually said that there was a penalty on the Lions, no, on Dallas, and he said, "It's the first penalty of the game." And I said, "What about that false start that began the game, Dick? Did you forget about that one? That would be the second penalty of the game." But you know what, Dick Stockton, what are you going to do? No, I almost want to call him Dave Stockton.
Really? I mean, he's so bad now, Mark.
But there's a lot of errors. It's not just the fact that he's not very good.
He has a great voice, but I'm saying he does it all the time. I don't know if he can't see anymore. You know what happens to broadcast? They can't see. Seriously.
Well, his eyes look weird when you see him. He's got this number going. He looked like Gilbert Godfrey.
And I don't know.
I'm Dick Stockton. I can't see a damn thing. I don't know what the hell's going on. I got fired in my Aflac.
How'd you blow that job?
Oh, man.
Mark, how much? You know how much he was making to do those commercials?
Millions.
$500,000 a year. That was a sweet endorsement deal.
For many, many moon, too.
Right, for years.
So anyhow, Jeff Heath forces the Reggie Bush fumble. Justin Durant, ex-Lion, recovered that. Then they had the Calvin fumble. Brandon Carr, who went, who's from Flint, went to Carmen Ainsworth High and Grand Valley State University.
He got toasted.
Let me tell you about Brandon Carr. He's got the Carr Cares Foundation. Raises a lot of money in the state of Michigan.
Nice.
He has not forgotten his roots in Flint. But that set up the second Dan Bailey field goal. So you're talking 53-yarder there. 13-7 after three. You're in the fourth quarter already of this game at home, downtown, and it's 13-7. If you would have called someone and said, you know what I think? There's going to be 41 points between the two teams in the fourth quarter. But in the fourth, Romo to Terrence Williams burned everybody. Glover Quinn, dude, did you pick up the jock after the game was over? Because it's still sitting there.
Brutal.
That was as bad as it. You don't want to look at, you know. He's a good player. I really like the signing, and I think Quinn is fine. I like GQ in Texas with the Texans. But he lost his jock on that play. So it was 20-10 at that point. At that point, you're saying, okay, 10-point lead, Dallas Cowboys. They've shown no propensity yet to give up the ghost here. And fresh off a win, they were going for three in a row. Fresh off a win over the Eagles, you say to yourself, oh, this is happening. Dallas, they're up 10. They'll probably only, you know, advance the lead. But then the killer bees started getting involved, Drake Bell and Bush. And then they started trading touchdowns. Bell had one. Des Bryant had another one. Then Reggie Bush scored the touchdown. Then all of a sudden, boom, 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 out go the lights. Oh, you got a game. Now, for the guys, and this is more, look, fans should have been thrilled with the Lions win. It's the media who took this thing, and if anything, it was a very exciting game at home. It wasn't a great played game at home. It was an exciting football game getting to that fourth quarter.
You're trying to convince people, and this is the thing that's happened with the Lions. Let's just call it like it is. Most of the people who are covering the Lions are Lions fans, and they root for them, and they want them to win, and I've been through it, Mark, and I sit there, and it's painful to even be in a press box. I'm going to tell you. It's painful.
Well, it's not the way it used to be.
It's just not.
That's for sure.
Because all these guys are fans. They're flat-out fans, and they look like the end of the world, Mark.
When and they think that they need to do that to their listeners, readers, et cetera.
That's where it is. And I'm not talking about radio talk show host or whatever. I'm talking about supposed journalists covering the game and stuff like that. So when you hear it and you see guys and they're always making excuses, just like I tell people all the time, you can't have it both ways. Either it matters and the coach matters and the players matter. You know, you can't look at one game and say, oh, Matthew Stafford's the best quarterback. When a minute difference, you would have been running the guy out of town talking about how bad he is. So let's put a, did they win the game? Absolutely. Did he make a couple of big throws? Yes, he did. They won the game. You got to give him credit for that.
Credit.
But let's not, thanks Charlie Hayes, but let's not totally forget what else happened. Because those same people, when they go to Chicago in 2 weeks, will be crying bloody murder when things don't work out on the road. I'm just saying, you got to keep a fair mind. I don't know why people feel compelled. I'm talking about media people feel compelled to root.
Yeah, because the fans should have been excited about a 31-30 win.
But ask yourself why 40% of the stadium walked out. I mean, Mark, they walked out. You would say, well, why would you walk out? You came all this way. Why would you leave before the game's over?
It's funny you bring that up because they started a walk at 6:54 when the Cowboys went up 27-17.
They did.
The second 10-point lead of the game. You saw there was, I wouldn't say a mass exodus, but there was a good exodus of people that were starting up the ramps there and up the stairways to get out of the ballpark and be done with it already and hit the traffic and get out of town before darkness happens in downtown Detroit.
Oh, stop it. Ain't nothing going on. It's good. No issues, no things. But talking about leaving the stadium, one person left was the happiest man in the world. It wasn't Matthew Stafford. It wasn't Calvin Johnson. Do you know what the 50-50 payout was yesterday?
No, what was it?
You know I'm sick over it, that I didn't get in. You ready? You won't even believe it.
I can't wait.
Just take a guess on how much money they walked.
I
don't
know.
Just take a guess.
$1,000.
50-50. Come on. You know. There's 60,000 people there.
I don't know.
$107,000. Somebody went to the game, paid $3 or whatever it is, $3 for a ticket, $5 for two or whatever it is, Mark. Paid $5 and walked out with $107,000. Even if they took $40,000 taxes from, walked out with $67,000. How you doing? How would you feel?
I feel pretty good. I wouldn't care about the score. I wouldn't care about the game.
Can you believe that amount of money on a 50-50?
Well, you know, you guys are more into that than I am, but no.
I'm into money. I'm sorry. No, I am.
I get that. Let me get back to football other than the 50-50. Sorry. No, that's fine. It's fine.
You said it was a podcast.
It's a podcast. No, I'm just sick over the money. I want the money. So now I'm just depressed. Did you finish your steak?
Yes.
Already?
Yeah.
Dude, you got to eat slower.
Take human bites.
67 seconds to go. Lions go 80 yards. This is after the biggest series to me, which was the epic fail by Dallas going the four plays and 5 yards when they don't get anything else. That's on Callahan and his offense over there and little Rusty Garrett, who just, I've never been a fan. Don't like him. I think Jerry Jones needs to make a change there, but that's
Jerry
me.
Jones was at the game. I did, you know.
He likes going there because he loves the Fords.
I did listen in, you know what I mean, on his little presser, you know, with a couple of reporters. But
how does face look?
Actually, good? Looser than it loose? Was, yes. You know, before, I think he had something.
Needs a tune-up?
No, he had to unloosen it because. It used to
he had to unloosen.
Mark, it used to be skin tight.
Yeah, I know, but you still want it kind of tight if you're going to do the facelift. You're going to spend that much money. You want loose face.
It looked a little looser than it had.
You're going to call him loose face?
Yeah, loose face.
That's what he's going as for Halloween, loose face.
But
Rob doesn't like, is it clowns you don't like or puppets?
Both. I don't like that stuff.
What?
I don't know.
Only because I say that is on our website, we have that YouTube video of the Insane Clown Posse, ICP. How did you stand it, though, when our boys Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope showed up in the studio?
It wasn't that comfortable. It wasn't that comfortable. In full clown regalia, is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
It wasn't that comfortable, but I like those guys. And I guess since I knew they were underneath it, it made it a little easier.
I mean, this is their thing. It's the Juggalos. It's Halloween. It's ICP. By the way, you can see that if you haven't seen the website and seen the thing. Click on it, and it's right there. All right, so the final play. Let's get to that. They go the 80 yards. Stafford to you got the pass to Chris Durham. You got the pass to Calvin down to the one. Here comes Stafford. He's doing the thing. He looks like Peyton Manning with the arms flailing everywhere. And I'm saying to myself, whether he spikes the ball or not, I've seen this before. And I don't know why the Dan Marino play didn't come up because Dan Marino had one of the most famous ones
against the Jets. Can I tell you where I was? I can't believe I'm telling you this story.
Make it with some chick?
No. Well, I was with a chick, but it was my mom. But we were furniture shopping, Mark, at Siemens. You ever remember hearing of Siemens?
I do
furniture?
Remember.
Okay, yeah. Siemens. And, you know, all the TV sets are there, and, you know, when they're selling TVs in the furniture store. So all the guys, while the women are like, there's like 10 guys, we're all standing there in front of these 10 TV sets. And that's where I saw the famous fake spike and cost the Jets. And I just was like, still to this day, I'll never forget.
Yeah, it's not the first time that's happened. I give Stafford credit for doing it.
Thanks, Charlie Hayes.
Well, because he could have just played it by the book and spiked the football, the old clock play. But he pulled a Marino, and that's what it is. You pull a Marino, it's kind of more famous for Marino than anybody else.
I'm going to tell you, I think when he does that, I think that's a dangerous play. And if I was a defensive coordinator and Matthew Stafford was at the goal line, I would say to my guys, look to punch the football. You know, like, be ready to punch.
Because the way he puts it over like
when
that.
When he goes over like that, Martin,
ball's
he lost
exposed.
It.
Yeah.
He lost it once, and you remember covered it in the end zone. Punch the football back, right? No breaking the plane. I mean, look for it, because he does it. This is his signature move now.
So there it was. There was the win on that play, and they should be excited about it. Team and fans, we just had an issue, I think, on a Monday with the media and how they are portraying this game. You think they want, you know, I'm surprised the Lombardi Trophy wasn't shown at, you know, in the, you know, hallway at the end of the game or down in the locker room area.
But this is another one that looks big now, like when they beat Dallas, they came back 2 years ago and beat them.
And by the way, can I say this? They have a propensity of beating the Cowboys through the years.
Well, the last 10 games they're 5-5, and it's not like they never beat the Cowboys. And the other thing, too, is...
But they have famous wins against Dallas for them.
2 years ago... When they beat Dallas and Dallas came back, remember they up by Dallas?
Yeah, that was
21.
A great comeback.
And they're still throwing the ball instead of running it, you know, through two pick sixes or whatever. But that year you thought the Lions had done something, and then just like in this game, at the end of the year when you look up that tally up that board, now Dallas might not be a 500 team. Do you know what I mean? So you look at the win now and you say, wow, they got a big win or whatever. But then as the season goes on, you look at these teams and say, Dallas wasn't that good.
Rob. The New York football playing Giants 2 weeks ago had not had a victory. They're two games out of the division lead in the East, thanks to the Dallas Cowboys. With two straight wins by the Giants now, they're two games behind.
Oh, yeah, that great win of 15-7.
Yeah, five field goals by Josh Brown.
Is that...
Five field goal, hey, any port in a storm. All right, so the numbers on the victory. And by the way, don't forget, as I mentioned that thing about the, they have wins, they beat Dallas with regularity. The only playoff win in 55 years was against the Dallas Cowboys. And then they came back and beat them on a Monday night with Scott Mitchell and Barry. Barry had a big game, that one. Sanders, who was at the game with Eric Kramer and Jim Arnold and Rodney Pete was at the game on Sunday. So it'll always be known until the Lions win another playoff game as the lone playoff victory in the last half century plus is against Dallas, and it was a blowout over Jimmy Johnson and the Cowboys that day, 38-6. All right, numbers. Stafford, 33-48, 488, the touchdown and two picks. Calvin Johnson, 14 receptions. Everybody knows it now, 329 yards, second most in NFL history to Flipper Anderson's 336, so he finished seven behind. Anderson did that 24 years ago. So those two numbers are just sick numbers. There's no question that that's sick. Stafford's already had a 500-yard game in the league. Only 15 guys have ever done that. But he had a 520 against the Packers that day on January 1st of 2012. Don't forget that one, 520 that day.
Oh, did they win that game?
That was the game they lost to Matt Flynn. Made Matt Flynn a multi-millionaire, and the guy's barely played since on that day. And Flynn had 470 or 480 that day. So Stafford has done this. Someone is going to break, eventually, Norm Van Brocklin's record, which has now stood for 62 years, of 554 yards passing in one game. That'll be broken eventually. Stafford probably will be the one to do it, because one of these days he's going to throw 80 times, and he'll complete 50 of them for 557 yards or something. You watch. He'll be the guy to break that longstanding, one of the few records left in the NFL that has lasted this long, Norm Van Brocklin's record. Against the New York Yankees, by the way. That was who the Rams were playing that day. They were called the Yankees.
Who pitched that day?
Whitey Ford. I think Whitey Ford was doing it. 1951, it was Whitey Ford. So it is sick numbers. However, I do want to tell Kelvin that you're still 40 behind Jeremy Gallen. Gallen still had a better day than you did against Indiana. You're in a state where one guy, 369 and 329 in receiving yards. Ridiculous. Crazy numbers.
Those are crazy numbers, but that's where football's gone. The time when Van Brocklin did it, Mark, come on, people were probably throwing for 160 yards a game.
Well, obviously. You know what I mean? Because nobody, in fact,
didn't run football like that.
For a long time, I want to say that the guy who was second to Van Brocklin was Vince Ferragamo when he threw his 500-yard game in the 1980s or late 70s. That stood for a long time. Until I think Phil Sims might have gotten 500 in like 85 or something.
I remember Vince Ferragamo being on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Because of that game?
Don't you remember that?
Yep. The Killer Bees combined for 176 yards. There were still more yards to be found. Lions at 623 to Dallas's 266. 623, Rod Marinelli and Monty Kiffin. Should be ashamed of yourself for that. And first downs, Lions 29 to Dallas's 13. And the Lions do have more wins than they had in 2012 now with their fifth victory. They passed by the 4-12 of last season already halfway through the year. I thought the one interesting number about Calvin, though, was that 16 teams haven't had a 329-yard passing game this season, and he had individually the 329, and half the league hasn't had a 329 game yet. Through the first half. Tony Romo was 14 of 30 for 204.
I would like to see the record of those teams.
Those 16? Think they're all bottom feeders? Think that's the second half bottom feeder? I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
I think that it might be half and half. I think it's maybe more. Maybe like a 9-7 have better records than the worst records that haven't had a 329 game yet. Not just have a receiver catch 329. Romo, is this the first time in like 50 games that Tony Romo did not pass for a 50% mark? First time in a long time that Tony Romo's gone without completing 50% plus of his passes.
I know he had three touchdowns, no picks, but he wasn't that good. He missed a couple of people out there.
I mean, he wasn't good until the end. His first three and a half quarters were fairly brutal. I mean, it was kind of a nothing game for Tony Romo at the time. And then for the first three quarters, you thought the Cowboy defense was playing, I would say spectacularly, but pretty well. I mean, it fell apart on them. It happens, and that's why my cautiousness is don't go crazy over this thing, because if the Lions had won this game in normal fashion, they just won the game. 24-17, it had gone like normal, they staved them off at the end, you'd say, hey, good win, nice, you're 5-3, let's move on. They're making this, and I think it's because of the way it happened in the fourth quarter, as if this was like a turning point thing. And I don't see where the turning point comes here. And for Dez Bryant, dude, seriously, I know you were pretty calm after the game. I don't get it. You got to explain it to me, the whole thing with him and Witten and with Jason Garrett and with Romo. I don't get it.
Well, read my column on the Shadow League, because it's not like what you think, Mark. I think it's pretty easy to look at it from not hearing the sound and figuring that he's yelling at them, telling them, give me the ball or whatever.
No, it doesn't have to be anything.
It's just he's just passionate about the game. He wants to win and all that. Everybody I talk to.
Yell at himself then.
Well, some guys react differently. I don't think it's.
Well, what was Jason Witten saying to him?
Jason Witten was also talking to Tony Romo at the same time, because Witten didn't get any balls either, Mark.
Well, then it's back to the idea that this is about getting pass catches?
No, but I'm just saying that they were saying, dude, I'm open. I'm like not throw me the ball, but my God, what's going on?
They've played with the guy for years now. I mean, come on.
Neither one of those guys were in the – Mark, they what's going on? Three receptions. Brian and did Witten get one or two? I mean, where's the ball going is, I guess, what they're figuring.
The other NFL, Bears on a bye, Packers routed the Vikings. Aaron Rodgers, you don't get in his face. He just does the job. 24 of 29 with two touchdowns, 44-31. So the Packers are 5-2. Bears and Packers next Monday in Green Bay at Lambeau. Dave Pingelor, our guy Ping, was in London with the Jacksonville Jaguars. as the Niners won 42-10. To send the Jags to 0-8. Rob, they're halfway through. Will this be a perfect season for the Jags? You claimed last week you thought they would win at least a game.
I think they'll win a game.
You still think that, huh?
Yep.
Boy, they're terrible. That's as bad a team as I've... That's a worse team than the 0-8 Lions. Because at least the 0-8 Lions had some... They had Calvin Johnson. At least the 0-8 Lions had something. Had somebody.
Doesn't Tampa Bay play the Lions?
Tampa Bay does.
Oh, Tampa! I was thinking Jacksonville.
No, Jacksonville does not.
Tampa Bay doesn't have a win
either. Tampa Bay does not have a win either. They lost on Thursday. Tampa will be the first. Next home game, in fact, will be Tampa. Two on the road. Pittsburgh and Chicago. Chicago up first. And then the Tampa game and then the Green Bay game already for Thanksgiving. We'll get to that in a sec. But the Chiefs over the Browns, 23-17. They're the only 8-0 team. Continuing to impress Andy Reid with what he's got. Of course, it was Cleveland. I thought the most impressive game of the weekend was probably New England being down 17-3 against Miami and having nothing going on and coming back to win 27-17 on a bad day for Tom Brady. His numbers weren't spectacular to come back like that.
His numbers haven't. Go look at his numbers over the whole season. They're not good.
And they're still 6-2.
I know. But it's just a lot of stuff has happened. They've played a lot of bad teams. Tom Brady's not having a good year. If you just look at his numbers by himself, you'd be shocked at how bad they are. They're Tim Tebow-esque.
Well, Andy Dalton continued his stuff. Five touchdowns, beating the Jets 49-9 Cincinnati. And Peyton Manning, five touchdowns as they beat the Skins 45-21 Denver.
You know our buddy Champ.
Champy Pampy. Champy Wampy Hampy.
He hit me up and he told me about Geno Smith, right? Told me he was special. I said, I didn't see it. I saw him beat Atlanta in Atlanta, and he's saying he thinks he's special.
Well, now you see what Atlanta's made of.
Right.
They're not the Falcons.
Atlanta just lost to Arizona, right? So, but I'm just saying, I didn't see special with Geno Smith. Have you seen special yet?
In what I've seen from him, he looks highly average.
That's what
he looks highly mediocre. So I haven't, no, as far as whether being special. Have I studied Geno Smith? No. Did I watch him in college? Yes. And I thought he was better in college, but I also thought he was a college quarterback. I wasn't certain about a pro career.
But we get this all the time. I think the word special, Mark, is overused. I didn't see anything special. I'm not saying he's going to be a bum or he can't play in the league. But special is not the word. And that, and you saw the Jets weren't even able to get a touchdown this past week.
Peyton Manning's pretty special, would you say?
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty damn good, dude.
Unless it's the postseason.
Right, well, because he didn't win a second Super Bowl for you.
Please, it ain't that. Mark's record is terrible.
Only Rob Parker find a way to rip on Peyton Manning.
His record. Go look at... You want me to give you the numbers?
Well, Brett Favre's record's not that great.
But I didn't say Brett Favre was great either. Did I?
Favre's barely 500 in postseason play. I think he's like 13-11.
And Peyton Manning's under 500. He's lost his last three and five of his last seven postseason games.
Well, he's not the only one playing.
Yes. If we're going to give him the Super Bowl and talk about that, then we're going to give him losses too, because that's the way we look at it.
Well, I think he's
damn... You don't look at it that way? Yes, you do.
No, I've never looked at it that way.
Everybody does.
I've been the one guy who says, stop putting it all on a quarterback.
Because that's what you do. You say, oh, he won two Super Bowls.
I keep hearing defense wins championships.
Defense? I'm telling you, it's defense.
All right, coming up on the podcast, we're going to do Michigan-Michigan State Week. Because that the week is officially on.
Rah, rah, rah.
It's just boom-bah. 3:30 ABC in East Lansing. And they're both now ranked in the BCS. They both made it in. Somebody voted them enough to do that. Also, some more college football stuff. World Series stuff. We'll get to the Tigers managerial search. We got a lot to do. Don't kid yourself. You're not going anywhere.
What about that play in Game 3?
What, the obstruction play with Jim Joyce again? Don't forget that the Pistons begin the NBA season on Wednesday, so we'll get to that as well. College basketball also begins on Tuesday. Everything going on. A little hockey biz with the Red Wings. And news and notes. News you can use. You don't want to think about even sniffing any other podcast or go anywhere. Well, you can, because you can stop it and go back and listen to it. That's the beauty of the podcast.
That's right. Somebody could go to the bathroom and come back, right?
Or have a steak.
Or have a filet. It wasn't just a steak.
But first, here is this commercial ad placement.
If you need a haircut, I'm talking about Mark Willie. You're an urbanite. You know, one of those guys. You need to get a fade on the side. You need a real good haircut. Come on down to Sporty Cuts right there on 7 Mile between Outer Drive and Myers. We're home of the $10 all-even haircut. You know, there's no fade, just all-even around, 10 bucks. $8 for kids. So come on down, Sporty Cuts. 11 years of operation, Mark. We've been in business.
Come on. 11, already? 11 come years. On, Rob.
11 years, if you could believe that. So come on down, 7 Mile between Outer Drive and Myers. And hey, Mark.
Yes, Rob.
Go get Sporty Cut.
All right. Back to it. Halloween week, man. Very scareful. Very spooky.
Are y'all having spooktacular? A Halloween party? You
and no, Kate? We don't do that anymore. We haven't done that in years.
I know.
What, you think I wouldn't have invited you? Dude, the salad days of those thousands of dollars Halloween parties with the chocolate fountains and the pet psychic and the catering, them's days is over, Rova.
They used to be great.
They were great. You had a great time. I told you, Dave Shepard, Dax Shepard's late father, loved you coming over. In the one year you came over with the Parker and the Man mask, was that what you had? You held up, what was that thing you had? Was that like your picture on a stick? It was you, your picture over your face, right? The one year you came like that? He doesn't even remember what he came as anymore. And one year you had a mask on. What was the mask? Do you remember? It was like just a...
It was like a Frankenstein mask.
Just a scary mask. You were trying to scare the kids.
Which I always, you know...
Then Rob took the mask off and scared the kids.
Exactly. But you know what's so crazy about me is I used to always hide the Halloween, that mask, so good that sometimes I couldn't find it. You know why I used to hide it like that?
Because you didn't want to see it.
I was afraid... that one day I was going to wake up and somebody would be standing over me wearing that same
holding
mask.
That knife.
Beep, beep, but beep, that beep, mask beep, on. Beep. So it's kind of like as if somebody's going to break in, right? Look for the mask, look around, find the mask, put it on. But I don't know. It was just one of those things. I never liked that mask.
Yeah, we stopped doing those. We had a lot of people of those things. We had big timers. A lot of media people came over. It was fun. We did that for a long time, though, Rob. We did that for years. I just said, you know what? We stopped it when I went to Vegas. That's when we stopped doing it for the most part. So I said, I'm not going to do a Halloween party again. Screw y'all. Get your own free candy and other stuff, whatnot. All right, it's MSU Michigan week in East Lansing. Spartans go in 7-1, Michigan 6-1. In the BCS, Spartans and Michigan both in. Michigan is in at 21. Michigan State finally gets in the poll anyhow at 24, but BCS 22. Even though they're third in the nation, allowing just 12.3 points per game. This is the clash of titans here. Michigan, eighth in points scored at 42.4 per game. So something got to give, even though Greg Madison this week says that his Michigan defense will be better. So you're saying, of course, all the East Lansing people are going, okay, Debbie Downer, how you gonna screw at the 42-3 win in Champaign? Look, Tim Beckman, I'm going to frank you, Tim Beckman, is probably... this shy of Daryl Hazel, the worst coach in the conference. and probably in over his head in Champaign. I'll tell you how I Debbie down the Spartan 42-3 win. That Illinois team has not won a Big Ten game now in 20. It's 20. That's the streak. 20 straight games they have not won in the Big Ten. And that's why Tim Beckman got the job in the first place, and he hasn't improved anything. So when Michigan State comes into Champaign, first thing I thought of when the wind was blowing, of course, was Marty Mornhinweg when the Lions played the Bears in Champaign when Soldier Field was being redone. And Marty took the wind, and he'll always be remembered for that. But it had no problems for Mark D'Antonio. I mean, Connor Cook set a record by going 15 of 16. That's an all-time Spartan percentage record for a game. 15 of 16, 208 and 3 touchdowns. Jeremy Langford, his third straight 100-yard rushing game, which was a positive, 104. But the Spartan defense held Illinois to 128 yards total offense and just 8 first downs. And really nice to see Delton Williams, first of many collegiate touchdowns. Barring injury, Delton Williams is the next great running back at MSU for many years to come. I was not really happy with D'Antonio Robb when he played him as a freshman. I wanted him to kind of redshirt him, maybe. I mean, to play him now, I didn't think was profitable, but now the more I'm seeing it, I'm kind of glad he's doing it, because there is something going on here. Say what you want. And by the way, the Spartans' time of possession, they nearly had the ball for 20 minutes more than Illinois did. They're 4-0 in the Legends Division. Control their own destiny now that Nebraska has lost to Minnesota. The Spartans have a real legitimate chance here if they can get past Michigan to, and I'm saying this, a real legitimate chance to go 8-0 in the conference. They have a shot to do this now. See, all the stuff that went on last year when I did not want Andrew Maxwell as the Spartan quarterback, and I was begging for Connor Cook to be the quarterback, and he was not, has proven true this year. So last year when I was down on him, they actually did lose 6 times. This is what I expected now. Maybe not 7-1, the lone loss to Notre Dame, because the schedule's been terrible. But that's not the Spartans' fault the schedules are terrible, because they have to win the games.
But
and they've won them.
I know, but they don't get any respect for winning. I mean, they don't have any.
Starting 2-0 because they're in the polls. They're in the BCS. They didn't, obviously, prior to this. But 7-1, what do you always talk about grabbing your attention? Some point, you got to grab the attention with a Big Ten team with a 7-1 record and undefeated in the conference.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I'm just saying, to this point, that it's like they didn't matter. And I guess, depending on what happens against Michigan, it'll be a big test as well. But the Big Ten at all, Mark, isn't looked at the same way. You know, it's down, right? I mean, people are looking at it as like a strong conference.
Look, Indiana's still Indiana. Minnesota starting to get a little spark because they beat Nebraska. So someone say, hey. You know, and Jerry Kills, the guy with the seizures, their coach, it's been a tough ride for him. He probably can't do this much more after this year. I mean, it'd be great if he could, because he's certainly proven something in Minnesota. That's the first time they beat Nebraska in like a million years. And they played them over the course of time before they were even in the Big Ten. But the rest of it, Purdue's terrible. Outside of Ohio State and a flash at Wisconsin, it's been a really down conference. But then you say, wait a second, why are we doing this all the time? Why are we saying only Ohio State, Wisconsin, when you have a 7-1 Spartan team and a 6-1 Michigan team? That Akron and Connecticut game, even though there were victories, didn't stoke anybody's fire.
No, if anything, it dropped Michigan, because everybody knows they should have lost to Akron. Akron blew that game.
I think to both.
Right?
Probably should have lost both. And on the road to UConn.
To UConn. But the Akron game, especially, Mark, remember, that was in your building. I mean, that was the one where people are like, Akron choked.
Terry Bowden was literally an inch practically away from pulling off one of the great upsets in the history, maybe in the history of college football.
No, I don't know. That Appalachian State. That.
Well, I said one of them. I'd say the. Okay. But that would rank up there with Appalachian State. I would say the three would have been Appalachian State, Toledo. Remember, Lloyd Carr lost to Appalachian State. Rodriguez lost to Toledo. Now you would have had Brady Hoke losing to Akron.
A pretty picture.
Because Bo doesn't have one of those games. Gary Moeller doesn't have one of those games to look back on and say, oh, my God, they lost to Long Beach State or something. They never even came close to losing those kinds of games. And that happens now in Ann Arbor. Maybe two big ones. So now I would say pattern, not an aberration. It's still an aberration when they lose a game like that.
You're not supposed to.
But they didn't lose. They did win the games, too. Other teams have had close wins, too. And you can't just always sit on the side of, oh, my God, you almost lost that game to Akron. When does that go away? It goes away if you keep winning. And Michigan has done that. Now, here's the point for this weekend. Which do you believe takes the bigger hand? On the road for Michigan, at home for the Spartans, the Gardner-Gallon connection, which is now G-Wiz. I love the G-Wiz with the two G names. Or is the Spartan defense? If defense wins championships and not always games, which prevails? And is it maybe just the home field advantage thing that comes into play for MSU on Saturday?
I always look at teams winning on the road. It's no disrespect to Michigan State. You know what I mean, Mark? There's a certain degree of they expect you to do stuff at home. Right?
Okay.
But I think...
come on. Which way is this going? No. Is it more Gardner, Gallen, FitzToussaint, and the Michigan offense against the...
Yeah, no, that,
the number one defense in the country.
That's what it is. And so people will look at that and see what Michigan's able to do against them. And if they don't hold up, I think that Michigan State's defense will take a major hit if, right? Because the game's where?
So he's Lansing and Spartan Stadium.
So that's what I'm saying. It would take a major hit that their defense allowed Michigan to come in there and score points or do whatever they wanted to do. So this is a big, to me, it's bigger on Michigan State. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but would you like some syrup with your waffle? Can you tell me what do you think?
What's going to happen? Are you asking me? Yeah. Oh, okay, I just thought which was bigger. That's what I thought we were talking about.
Look, Greg Madison can say what he wants. To me, it's Gardner and Gallen and Toussaint against the Michigan State defense that ranks up there with Alabama.
I think Michigan State's defense will prevail. I do.
So you're calling a Sparty victory again over Michigan, which has happened quite often since Rich Rodriguez became the coach and Brady Hoke had to suffer through one of them on his own. So you think, once again, Mark D'Antonio, your boy D'Antonio.
He's still on high. Your
boy MD.
He could talk to me once he gets to the Rose Bowl. Tell him to give me a call when you get to the Rose Bowl.
Well, that's what he's trying to do this year.
Well, let's see.
Let's see what he does.
Every time I've seen a big game for Michigan State, Mark D, or whatever you want to call him, he doesn't make it happen.
Do you think State, if they get into a shootout situation, because he claims they can, D'Antonio believes they can win a game 13-7, 7-6, and they can also win 44-41.
I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that.
See, I think Connor Cook, I don't like the receiving game at all. They still don't use McGarrett Kings enough for my liking, and I don't know who. They don't have a real good featured receiver. Benny Fowler sometimes. It's almost by committee.
Benny played well, though, last week.
He did. He played very well. They all played well. McGarrett Kings, I want to still see more on the. But I love the fact that Jeremy Langford is starting to look like a Le'Veon Bell. It's starting to look like a different kind of runner, but still rolling up the yardage like Javon Ringer. In the mold of those great Spartan running backs over the years, whether it's Blake Ezor or Lorenzo White or any of those cats or Tico Duckett or Cedric Irvin, there's been plenty of them. And Jeremy Langford with three straight 100-yard games is starting to look that way. I think the same thing. I think, and you know me, I've picked Michigan to beat State in the past, so I'm not homering here just because I'm Captain Sparty.
No, you're pretty honest when it comes to your...
You know I wouldn't do it.
You're not, no, you'll say it.
Last year I was all over their ass. And I was the one who predicted in August that they would lose at least six times. And sure, if they lost six and happened to get a victory in that bowl game with Connor Cook. But I was the one who wanted Cook over Maxwell to begin with. Sorry, Andrew. I wanted Connor Cook. Now he's there. He's firmly entrenched as the quarterback. He ain't coming out, hopefully, for any reason. I'm going to say State wins this game. I don't think it'll be as low scoring, though, unless weather's going to be a factor. Because we don't know about this rain this weekend, starting with Halloween on Thursday. If it's a dry track, I think State might actually roll up to 30 points on them. So I think they can win a 30-24 kind of game. If it's raining, I think it might be one of these 20-17, maybe 17-14 kind of things. I just hate dissing Gardner and Gallen, even though what they did was against Indiana. I'm not ripping on the Hoosier thing. I'm not, because Indiana's not good. That's a prolific offense that Devin Gardner has, but he's prone to the mistakes. And I think seeing the Marcus Rushes and Max Bulla and the rest, I think that will force some of those. So I'm going to say State wins probably in a more of like a 31. I'm going to say they score 31 points.
I got something.
31-17, 31-20.
I got 21-17, 21-14. I'll go something like that. That's 21-14, 21-17.
We're both picking State.
Yep.
So MSU to go to 8-1, 5-0 in the Legends final year. That stupid Legends and Leaders thing. 5-0 in the division.
What are they going to call it now after this?
I think East West or North South.
Oh, finally, huh?
Yeah, they don't. This was the last year of Legends and Leaders. 5-0, and then Michigan would drop pretty much out of anything. Now they'll just be rolling for some kind of decent bowl game, Outback Bowl or whatever bowl. State would still be in though.
A Bloomin' Onion if you're going to the Outback.
Look, there's only one bowl I want in. You're totally right. This is a team built for the Rose Bowl. It'll be an epic, shouldn't call it epic. It'll be a failure if Mark D'Antonio at this state, with Minnesota helping out by beating Nebraska.
They don't make it.
First, certainly to the Big Ten championship game. But now you've got to really have Pasadena in your sights because you haven't been there in a quarter century.
And at some point, don't you think, how long has D'Antonio been
there? 7 years.
Seven? Okay. At some point, Mark.
What are we talking?
Can you
get? He ain't going anywhere.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
He's the Kirk Ferentz now. Look, Kirk Ferentz, what's he done in Iowa? He's lasted 17 years or whatever it is.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
He's the dean of Big Ten coach. He's not going anywhere. It ain't happening. So I know what you're saying.
No,
you don't get to the Rose Bowl. It's Rose Bowl or nothing.
No,
Rose Bowl or bust.
But at some point, you just look at him as just a guy. That's my point. He's just a guy.
No, you look at him like he's Kirk Ferentz. How do you look at Ferentz? Why do you think Ferentz doesn't have that NFL job that he so covets? Because he goes in interviews. And he's just a little slightly off. Your credentials are fine, but.
You're just a guy. That's what I'm saying.
Special.
Nothing special, right? We're not throwing out the special word.
Okay. I mentioned Minnesota's 34-23 win over Nebraska. I want a couple other college football things. One of them is someone got to stop Ohio State. This is stupid. Urban Meyer is now 20-0 since he got to Columbus. He hasn't lost a game.
Loving every minute of it.
You love Urban, don't you?
I do. I think he's
because there you got a couple of national championships.
He's done. He got a resume, Mark, right? And now your lore only goes up, Mark. You know why? Because what? Ohio State was in the crapper, right? And now he comes. It's always about when guys move on and they start to win other places. It's about you. It's not about the program. Not about the kids. It's about you. When you just win in one place, I tell people all the time. Anybody can win once. You're in a spot. You're getting these people. But when you start moving around and you keep winning, it's about you.
How would you like to be Luke Finkel? The guy is on Urban Meyer's staff. He was the guy who had the 1 year between Tressel and Urban Meyer. He coached him into the ground. So Urban took those guys, mixed in a few freshmen that he got around nice and early, big time, almost the Bill Belichick of getting guys like free agency almost, and hasn't lost a game yet. So you're on the staff. He kept Finkel on the staff. Every time I think of that, I think of Ace Ventura. I don't know. Because it was like Ray Finkel was the Sean Young characters.
Right.
Which is still a great flick.
Gotcha.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. You can see it on Stars all this month. Now, I'm going to read this to you because when I say someone has to stop Ohio State, first of all, they beat Penn State 63-14. And Penn State, I knew this would happen with them. Last year, the transition year, I knew it would be okay because they'd be playing on adrenaline and emotion. They'd win some games. Bill O'Brien, coach of the year. Because, everybody said, but I said, it's not going to be the first year after Paterno. It's going to be the second year. And now they're terrible. Now they stink because the recruiting's off. They have obviously lost scholarships because of the whole Sandusky thing. And the Christian Hackenberg, their freshman quarterback, not quite there yet. And that was going to be the result. Not the first year after. Even though a lot of guys transferred out of state college, this year was going to be the year. This is an epic loss, though. So I'll use the word epic. Penn State's never lost a game 63-4. It's been 1899 since the last time Penn State lost a game like this. 1899. Even Paterno wasn't alive yet.
I think Jerry Green covered that game.
Was he at the game?
No, but I got you. I think you're right. The adrenaline and just the us against the world. Look at what they did to us. You know what I mean? Makes you play a little harder, and I think you're right. Now everything kind of shakes out, and now you look at it and say, they're not that good.
Okay, Ohio State this year, as opposed to last year, is off the probation thing. They can play for something. Now, Rob, I'm going to give you the four teams left for Ohio State. They're 8-0. As I said, they're 20-0 since Urban got there. You just say yes or no, or any way that you'd like, as to the names of the teams they have left and who will stop this Ohio State juggernaut. First up is Purdue.
No way, no how.
Illinois.
No way, double know-how.
Indiana.
No way, know-how.
And Michigan, final game.
No way, know-how. I see Ohio State winning those four.
Run to the table.
Yep.
24 in a row. Two straight years
you
of unbeaten.
You tell me who's going to beat them out of those four.
There's no stumble and bumble in Purdue, Illinois, and Indiana. There's no way. But Michigan, Brady, I'm actually imploring you. I'm actually appealing to you. If you can, because I hate Urban Meyer. I'm not an Urban Meyer fan. I give him credit.
I have respect for him. I'm not, you know me. I'm not.
But I think he's a turd.
I'm not rooting for him, but I
do. I'm sorry, Urban. I think you're a turd. Okay. I thought you were a turd at Bowling Green. I thought you were one in Florida, and I think you're one now at Ohio State. I just do. So I'm hopeful that maybe Michigan can win an Ohio State game because, I'll tell you what, if ever there was an upset in those three nerds on the couch at Animal House, Purdue, Illinois, and Indiana, this would be a good time for it against Ohio State. Heisman Trophy, Jordan Lynch. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm good. We're going to give it to him. He's the guy that set the quarterback record two weeks ago. He now had 339 total yards himself. In a 59-20 win. Yes, it was over Eastern Michigan.
Doesn't matter, but that's the way you're supposed to run over those guys. Am I right? If you want to be considered that guy.
He had a touchdown rushing, a touchdown passing, and a touchdown receiving. So the guy catches balls. He might as well just throw them to himself. And the other two things in college I wanted to mention before this other, something I want to ask you. Baylor, averaging 64 points a game now. They won 59-14 over Iowa State. That's ridiculous, too. But Tulane, give it up to the Green Wave, Rob Parker. Bowl eligible for the first time in ages with their sixth win. Tulane will be going to a bowl game.
Since they had the gambling scandal? Didn't they have
that? And I think it's been that long, but it seems that way. All right, now, have you ever heard of Western Connecticut University?
Western Connecticut State University.
Whatever it is. Western Connecticut, have you heard of it?
Yes.
Where is it?
I think it's in...
You went to what? Eastern Connecticut?
Southern.
Central Connecticut?
No, the Southern, the Central, there's Western and Eastern.
Those so there is an Eastern Connecticut, yes. State University.
Yes, there is. Those are the four.
Now, Daryl Rogers coached at AD at Central Connecticut, right?
Right. And I think it's in...
And you went to which one?
I went to Southern, which is in New Haven. Central's in New Britain. And then you have, I don't know if it's Groton, Connecticut, or... I can't remember the other two places, but they're far out from, you know, in Connecticut. I've heard of Western Connecticut State University.
Okay, there's a kid named Octavius McCoy. It's a Division III school. On Saturday against Worcester State, he rushed for 455 yards and five touchdowns. These are Octavius McCoy's last four games. 163, 372, 226, and 455. For the season... 1,556 yards and 23 touchdowns through seven games.
How many touchdowns?
23 through seven.
How is he at play in Division III? He doesn't belong there.
Obviously, he does not belong there. The 455 breaks the college record at any level. No one had ever done 455. Two other guys had done close. One was LaDainian Tomlinson when he was at Texas Tech. But nobody had ever done... Texas Christian, TCU, 455 in a game. So his name is Octavius McCoy. Remember it because he'll be involved in the draft at some point.
He'll be at somebody's camp, and even if it's just as a free agent. You got to look at a guy like that.
Oh, how could you not with those numbers? Those are sick numbers. High school playoffs begin in Michigan, Rob. Your thoughts about that? Alfred Casas' final year, anything?
Thank you very much.
Alfred Casas. I hope Alfred Casas goes out with a state championship. I think it would be his, is that 10th, 11th history? Yeah, we got notes.
How many pages you got?
These are the big two. The rest of it's just mentions. Okay. So anyhow, high school playoffs begin in the state of Michigan football. Go see a game. Rob Parker will hope that you go see and support your favorite. Actually, go support Ira Childress's Okemos. Oh, give it, Steve. He's getting some hell as the AD in his first year. Our guy, Ira, I chill. Okay, let's get to the World Series and Tiger manager search. World Series, Cardinals, Red Sox, Wild and Woolly first four games. Impressions from me, Big Poppy hitting 727 through the first four games. That's not bad. But the two big things, obviously, that really talked about in the games involved, the obstruction call by Jim Joyce, who was the same umpire.
What was your first reaction? Just
well, first of all, Jim Joyce was the umpire in the Armando Galarraga what would they call it? The perfect non-no-hitter or whatever it was. You know, obstruction's weird because you don't see it much in baseball. I mean, it's a play you don't see. So to see that happen with Middlebrooks' legs and Alan Craig trying to get around him, I mean, I'm not unaware of the rule. I just think it's a judgment call, but I guess it was obstruction. I mean, I guess the rule was called by the book, and it had to be called. But when's the last time you saw that? I don't think I've ever seen that.
No, and when I first saw it, my first reaction was, it looks like the right call to me. And then, you know, when you think it's Jim Joyce, you say, oh, this guy's made blunders before. And then you start to say, do you really want to see a World Series game end like that? But then, Mark, just think about this. If you're at third base and somebody throws the ball down the left field line, do you score, yes or no, normally? Just look at it that way. Would you score?
No.
Yes, you would.
Okay.
That's how I looked at it. And he got thrown out. And he got thrown out by a hair that he was tripped. He started to run, fell down, and continued to run. I have no issue with it. I think that they were good. The thing that was weird was Joe Torre having the rules book with him as if, like, you know, like the, well, look, I'll show, you know, like he had the book in the press conference. I just thought that was weird.
Yeah, but I dare someone or challenge anyone to go find me a play that was that significant in a World Series game of that same ilk, and you just don't see it. I don't see it in a regular season game, and especially one that's a game ender. So that changed the way you have to look at it, too.
Yeah, but also, Red Sox fans, that didn't mean they were going to win that game. Do you know what I mean? I mean, obviously they lost it, but didn't mean they were going to win it. The other thing, too, is look at Middlebrook's legs go up. Ah. If I want to be cynical.
Purposeful intent.
Yes.
He knew
what
was happening.
Do you see it, Mark? He's on his stomach.
I saw it many times.
And then his legs just all of a sudden go up as the runner's getting up?
It was similar to me in how they call Dominican Sue for a leg whip, or guys like that who do it supposedly intentionally would say, I didn't, what
right,
do you mean?
I was getting up.
I don't have eyes in the back of my head. How the hell do I know what I'm doing? I would say that that's probably collateral damage, that that's just a bonus. It's like, you know, as they say, life has its little bonuses. And I think the bonus was he thought, I'll impede his progress, but they won't call me for it.
Right. I'll slow him down, which is what he was trying to do. And you know what? It wound up working because he was thrown out the plate by a whisker, right?
Yeah.
So I think he knew what he was doing, and I think he did it on purpose.
Okay. All right. Then Colton Wong. Well, Alan Craig comes back the next day and gets the base hit. And, of course, they pull him out for a pinch runner because he should have made, it was an easy double, but he couldn't run it out, so he stops at first. And then Colton Wong is put at first base. Cardinals, you know, they have all these guys that some people have never heard of. And boom, boom, baby, Uehara, who I think is just amazing at 38, amazing at 18.
He's been unbelievable. Yeah. He's been unbelievable.
Picks him off. End of game. Series tied at 2. Colton Wong. Wong way, buddy. What the hell are you doing?
He was not too happy. Mark, you cannot, under any circumstances. It's not about, where are you going? Beltran, one of the hottest postseason hitters ever, right, is up.
Mr. October now.
Okay. You're looking for a long ball to tie the game. You're at home. You got to let Beltran hit. You cannot get picked off at first base. I don't care what was going on. I don't care if he was trying to get a little bit of extra lead. There's no lead. You could almost mark.
Rob, what was the score? What was the final score?
4-2.
Okay, you're up 2 runs, right? So you go into second, doesn't matter, because putting yourself in scoring positions makes it 4-3 if someone gets a base hit and you score. Still need another run to tie the game, not just win the game. Okay. At any level of baseball, whether it's Little League, Pony League, Colt League, High School, American Legion, I don't care, whatever, when you're up 2, the rule of thumb is, and you have 2 outs in the last inning, whether it's the 7th in some of those shorter games or the 9th inning in regular
games. Continue to the batter.
But what do they also say? The last thing you can do is what?
Get picked off.
Get picked off or get thrown out on a play that we don't allow the batter to at least give it a chance.
Right.
To make it in layman's terms. I don't care if it's a regular season Little League game on a Saturday at 8 a.m. It's the last thing you can, I mean, it's on everybody's mind when you play the game.
No matter what. You're better off standing on the base.
Not even a lead. Don't even take a lead. Now, you take your lead because you don't want to be doubled. Well, it doesn't matter. It's 2 outs anyhow. 2 outs anyhow.
Two outs.
Even a forced play. It's going to happen anyway.
Right. So you stay there as close as possible. You can't get picked off. It's just that simple.
Staying with your pick with the last, because now it's down to a series of best of three.
Yeah. It's
two out of three.
So I picked the Cardinals. I expect them to win tonight.
I picked the Cardinals, too.
And close out in Boston in game six.
Although I still so badly wanted to pick the Red Sox. It had nothing to do with the bombing in April on Patriots Day, okay? For some reason, I still think that the John Farrell story after the 1 year of Bobby Valentine is just a great story.
To be able to win a World Series. He managed his best game the other night when he didn't pinch hit Napoli. That was a mistake on his part.
Miguel Cabrera, groin surgery Tuesday in Philadelphia with Dr. William Myers. Just a little side note to Miggy. We all knew he was going to get the surgery now after the season was over when we found out that it was, in fact, the groin. I think there was something also that, you know, this is the most recent elephant in the room. Miggy, you ain't missing many meals, and I realized that you put on weight because you couldn't work out. It was so painful that he obviously abandoned workout for the opportunity to keep playing. But he packed on some pounds at the end, Rob. He was much heavier in September than he was in April and May. So hopefully the groin surgery will allow him to get back to workout too, and I think you'll see a leaner, meaner Cabrera come back in Lakeland in February. After having this. This is groin surgery. This is obviously a little more intricate than first thought. Okay? He's having surgery on this, not just resting it.
During the playoffs, he said to me, he said, you wait until the news comes out. Did I mention this on another podcast?
I don't think so.
That he said to me, he said, it's more serious than you know. And I asked him, I said, is it your hip? Is it like what A-Rod had? And he said, no, it's not my hip. And I thought for a minute, this is during the playoff, he was going to tell me. And I was like, oh, my God, I got a nice story. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, I can't tell you. I can't want me to say anything. I said, just tell me. He wouldn't tell me. So, like you said, to have surgery on this is a serious injury.
All right, let's get to the Tigers manager search. We've waited all this time. This is the most sexy thing for me going on. I love this, you know, because last we met on the podcast, it was just as Leland was about to call it a day. You can read the piece I wrote on our website at parkerandtheman.com.
One thing real quick. Leland, was he forced out or was it his decision?
I believe it was totally his decision. I don't think there was a force here at all.
I believe he was forced out, 100%.
He pushed out the door?
Yep.
Coming from Ilitch to Dombrowski?
Yep.
Or Dombrowski himself?
Dombrowski. I do, Mark.
I don't believe it.
I do.
Well, find that out and you got something.
I am. Because I've been around that guy a lot this past year.
Do you think the whole September 7th thing, or do you think that's when Dombrowski said, what? If you don't get to the World Series, you're out? Or
no, they had coffee that day. They probably had coffee that day to talk about the future and what's going on. And I don't know, maybe Dave Dombrowski said, you know, we'll see what happens here. Maybe talk to Mark about a contract extension or something. And Dave said, well, let's just wait and see what happens first. Because that could be the day you get your, here you go, you've won your third straight AL Central, right? And you're having coffee with the boss and you're saying, hey, maybe we should talk about a long-term extension. I'm feeling good. And then the GM says to you, let's wait and see what happens first. How would you feel if that happened to you that day?
Well, I don't believe that went on, though.
Okay, but I'm asking you.
Well, you're throwing me for a loop because even though I can consider it.
You can consider that. That's why that day.
I don't believe that, though.
I do. And the other thing is,
I don't see a reason or a need to get rid of him.
I do. They just spent $150 million, and Mike Ilitch just lost his shirt.
And there's no guarantee the next guy coming in is going to win your World Series.
You're not going to go with the same guy over and over who can't get you there.
Look, we're into this part.
And I'll tell you this, Mark.
The list of names here ain't going to get you there.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this.
In theory.
This whole thing, he was out of energy or tank was low. Man, that guy, old, tired, I would not pick for Jim Leland. There's a lot of guys who I thought got old and tired. Not him. This is the same manager.
69.
I don't care. It was in Minnesota. Moonwalking after they won.
For 8 seconds.
I don't care. He still did it. He wasn't like, wow.
He didn't have a concert, Rob.
Ooh,
what was that again? I don't believe that.
I'm telling you. You're wrong on this.
I think this one's legit. I think.
Mark, if you're not part of it, what do you always say?
I think Katie said to him, I'm done with this. I don't want you traveling anymore. And I think, you know, the kid, Patrick's in the system, and the daughter's just getting to the point where she's moving on. I think Katie wants him home. I think that's just the end of it.
So
younger
so
wife,
why,
16
why
years younger.
Job? What do you need a job for with the Tigers?
Oh, job. That's the part that's a bunch of bunk. It's the same job he had with the Cardinals. He'll scout a few people in Pittsburgh. Big deal.
What's it called? It's just a payout so that he doesn't make a scene over it.
It's a payout because I think they want to keep his name in the organization. And that's what you do with those guys.
I talked to him in spring training, and I said, if you win this year.
It's a long year.
No, it's not. I don't care. I said, he was defiant. You hear me? He wasn't just like, oh, I don't know. I'll wait to see what happens. I said, would you quit? Like Tony La Russa, if you want to. He goes, win or lose, I'm managing next year.
Oh, my God.
I'm healthy.
The guy told something that didn't come true?
Yes.
That happens?
Because it wasn't his decision. I'm standing by that. I have no evidence. I'm standing by it.
Well, then you name me the guy that Mike Yelich or Dave Dombrowski is so dying to hire here of these names.
It doesn't matter, Mark. It's anybody but you. You had your chance. 8 chances. 8 years. We didn't get there. I just spent $150 million. And you know what? Next year, guess what? I won't even be able to keep the same team together because if they kept the same team together with the raises and arbitration, you know what you cost? $190 million in Detroit. They can't do it.
Well, that's a whole other issue. That's an issue away from the manager. That's an issue for the general manager. Well, here's the names. So far, the interviews are Tim Wallach and Lloyd McClendon. And I love Tim Wallach. I think this is actually not the worst idea I've ever heard. He played 5 years under Dombrowski when he was the GM of the Expos. There's a couple of hundred homers in there in Wallach's career, so players have an interest in him. I watched him manage in AAA a number of games. I went to a lot of Albuquerque Isotopes games where he was the manager for 2 years under the Dodgers system and really liked what I saw. I talked to him on a number of occasions after games, too, for the radio show I did. And I found him to be more engaging than I remember him as a player. Don't you remember him being kind of adult? As a player, Rob, not a real great interview. Ooh. Tim Wallach.
Yeah.
He was not a quotable guy, but he is much better now in his advanced years. So Wallach is intriguing to me, and he's already interviewed, and there is that connection with Dombrowski from Montreal. I told you, McClendon's my guy. I'm going to hold to it till the end of the days. He already is going to interview in Seattle twice, second time in a couple of years with the Mariners. But I think that if anybody from the system, not going to be Tom Brookins, not going to be Mike Rojas. I don't believe it'll be Gene Lamont even getting an interview with these guys.
Didn't
like
you watch
he got in Boston.
Confidential last night with Bessé.
Yeah.
They're not being interviewed.
No, not
Lamont or Brookins.
And no Ozzie Guillen, right? We can take his name out?
Yeah, but I still think it's a mistake. That's the guy I want.
Well, I understand that. But if he's not getting an interview, he can't have the job.
Well, so far, he's not scheduled to be interviewed.
Brad Ausmus is coming in. We talked about Brad Ausmus, you and I did. Is he intriguing to you, or do you not have any interest?
Not at all. I think that's a waste. I'm not
okay, so he's a waste. I'll give you the names. Since Matt Williams is getting the Nationals job, Dusty Baker's out there. What do you do about Dusty? Would you have an interest in Dusty?
No, I don't think they have an interest. And I think what hurts Dusty is that he comes off back-to-back disappointing years. In
same like Leland then, right?
Right. Otherwise, you're bringing in a guy who didn't win, right? I mean, Dusty's done a lot of good stuff and has an impressive resume. But I'm just saying, you're going to bring in a guy who didn't get it done in Cincinnati? It just kind of seems weird.
All right, Torrey Lovello's name. Bench coach for John Farrell in Boston. Played for the Tigers in 88 and 89. He was one of the guys that Sparky Anderson once called the next Mickey Mantle. Torrey was a kind of a carefree guy. I remember him with the Tigers. He was there the 2 seasons. The thing I have a problem with Torrey Lovello, and I have a problem with on a number of these people, is if Torrey Lovello is such a good idea, and he's interviewed with 7 different clubs in his time in the last 6 years, why hasn't anyone else hired him? That's what we always talk about with guys like this, but I always hold to that. Why wasn't he a good idea for the other myriad of teams that interviewed Torrey Lovello? Give me Torrey Lovello, your handicap pick on Torrey Lovello as a Tiger manager. Yay or nay?
No way, no how.
Okay. So he's out too. Manny Acta. I will give you one thing. What do we talk about with press conferences? How do you have the press conference, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to introduce our new Tiger manager, Manny Acta. Manny, tell about your .418 win percentage as a manager in the major leagues. In the manager in the major freaking leagues, your win percentage is .418. You tell me how that would be an upgrade over Jim Leland. I'm asking. He's thinking.
No,
he's looking.
That was his answer.
Oh, zero. Okay, I get it. So let's see. You don't want Ausmus. You never really commented on Wallach. What about Wallach as a manager? By the way, he already managed something called Albuquerque. He'd have Al Albuquerque here. See the correlation?
I don't know. I mean, if it's Dave Dombrowski and he feels, I don't know, Tim Wallach, I just don't have a feel for him either. I really don't. These guys, the name that they're talking about.
Charlie Manuel?
I'm just, oh, please.
No.
All right, the next one. Rick Renteria. Renteria is 51. He's been a minor league guy. He's been, now here's my problem with the press conference for Rick Renteria. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to introduce the new Tiger manager, Rick Renteria. Rick's first year with the Florida Marlins was the year after Leland won the state championship, after he won the World Series. You know that 108 loss team? That's when Renteria started with the Marlins. He then left the Marlins and joined the San Diego Padres right after the World Series against the Yankees. So he's been with two bad teams during terrible times, but we'd like to bring him on here as our new manager. Please welcome Rick Renteria. Rob, your thoughts. Again, silence.
I'm sorry.
Well, no names are stroking you. Who do you want to manage the club?
Ozzie Guillen.
He's not coming. Forget Ozzie Guillen. The guy's a nut job.
No, he's not a nut job. He's won a championship. I'm not. Then I'm out on all these guys. No,
really?
I'm out.
Not one other guy?
I'm out. And if they hire any of those guys.
What about Davey Johnson?
Davey Johnson, he's retired.
Davey says he's retired.
No, he's not managing. I don't want Davey Johnson. He's too old. He's
70.
He's too old.
You wanted a 60. You had a 69-year-old Leland.
I'd rather have Leland.
69 is 1 year is difference. Difference.
Davey's an old 70.
Really? I don't think so.
Leland's a young 69, Mark.
What about Mike Rojas? Tiger I'm giving you. Why isn't Brookins being considered? He managed at various levels. He managed single A, double A, triple A. He managed at West Michigan.
Did you see him at third base this year? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, but he's
fine. He won't be at third base. He'll be in the dugout.
Well, they won't give him. Well, maybe you know what he could do. He could bring back. He could be like Leo DeRocha. Where did Leo DeRocha manage?
What do you mean?
Where?
What do you mean where?
Where did he manage from? Where? You don't remember? Third base. He used to be the manager.
Well, yeah, he did. He did that. He started with the Cubs doing that, and then gave up that duty to Peanuts Lowry or something.
Right,
yeah.
But he used to be.
Yeah, he did. But that's Rob.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Talking about old man.
I know. I'm just saying. Like
all those guys used to do that. Connie Mack managed in a suit. I mean, how far back you want to go? You were throwing me there for that one. So wait a second. Hold on. Let me just gather my flock here. Only the Cubs, Mariners, and Tigers have openings right now. The Cubs seem to be beelined on Renteria for some reason. That seems to, yes, Rick Renteria seems to be up there as their leader in the clubhouse. The Mariners, and Eric Wedge already interviewed in Chicago, too. What about Eric Wedge? Would you have any interest in him?
No.
No, about Eric Wedge. My only real no was Manny Acta because of the .418 win percentage. Wow, I can't come up with a name for you. I don't have a guy. And you don't want McClendon, huh? You don't have no interest in Lloyd McClendon as getting a second chance in the. You always are about second chances, but you have no interest in McClendon.
I don't understand why a guy who's been here for 8 years is going to all of a sudden change things enough to win.
Needs to be changed?
I don't know.
Stay the course. I'll take my 95, hope to get to the ALCS and maybe a World Series, and take my chances when I get to the postseason.
No, because this window's about to close in a year, Mark. After next year.
You say that now. I'm telling you,
after next year, it's a wrap. It's a wrap here. Telling you.
Well, there is a lot of money coming into play, but Ilitch has been shown that he will spend the money.
He doesn't have the money. He doesn't have.
You're really bugging me right now.
He doesn't have endless shrimp.
I don't have a guy. You don't have a net.
You don't pick your guy. I told you. I'm out. I'm out. 100%.
I picked my guy, Lloyd McClendon.
Okay.
If it's not McClendon, I don't mind Tim Wallach.
I don't want
either
of those guys. I'm telling you, I'd rather have Ozzy or Jim Leland back. He changed his mind.
You'd rather have Leland back?
Yeah.
You didn't force him out, right?
No, the Tigers.
You didn't force him out.
Tigers forced him out.
Nah, he didn't force
I told you. You know, I had a big argument.
You put no credence in the women behind the men. You never do. You haven't done it with Terry Saban and Nick Saban. You never did Grant Hill and Tamia. You know Tamia forced him to go to Orlando.
So Grant's father at the game. You know he works for the Cowboys.
All right, well, tell the pussification of Grant Hill started when Tamia wanted to go to Orlando for a little record career.
How'd that work out?
For her, pretty good. I mean, for Grant, played till he was 40. I don't think he made a lot of money.
He did well. He's going to be on TV now. He's got a couple tryouts.
I think there's a woman behind the man in the Katie Leland deal, and that's what I'll hold to.
Okay.
I think they've done well with their money, and they're doing fine.
Not an issue.
Never been an issue. He's not making enough for it to be an issue.
Right, and he lives.
And Ilitch will give him money.
Mark, have you ever seen him outside of it? He, trust me, not spending money on clothes.
No, just smokes.
Right. a couple of packs of smokes a day. He likes to go to the racetrack. He's your
guy. He goes to Hazel Park.
Have a couple of drinks. He's a guy's guy.
Yeah, I know he is. No, I know. I mean, I actually love the dude. I just wish he was more funny at times. He thinks he's funny. He thinks he's funny. I told the one story, and read the piece, and you'll see the story I told about my little thing with Leland and Dombrowski. We're getting there. I want to bring up one trade possibility. What? 40 minutes. Don't worry about it.
That's on the second half. What are you talking about?
We're doing a long podcast. Jesus, criminy. Got stuff to do today. A lot of stuff going on. Brandon Phillips, would you trade for him? Cincinnati's putting him up for auction. 32 years old. He's got 4 years left at $50 million total.
He's an unbelievable fielder. Are you kidding? With that defense that they have, I would definitely do that. You would have an unbelievable up the middle. You want to talk about being strong up the middle?
See, now you could use Porcello and Infante if you wanted to do something with trade and get rid of them and have Brandon Phillips.
No, you can't trade Infante. He's free agent.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is if you were to bring him back at any point, I'm not saying the trade for Phillips is going to go down now. I think the trade, he's got 4 years left in this deal. Cincinnati has floated it out there.
I'm just saying,
so this could happen like mid-season. You have to bring back Infante.
No, you're not. They can't afford him.
What do you think he's going to get? Come on.
I bet he was an all-star. He batted three something. Come on, he's going to get paid. This is only.
What did he make this year? He made $6 million? Six and a half?
He's going to get paid. He had a really good year.
You think he's a $15 million guy?
It's more than $6 million, I'll tell you that.
You're not paying him more than Brandon Phillips. I'm telling you right now, Phillips is making just 12 a year. He's making 12.
Yeah, but Machico can make 10 or 11.
But 10 is not that big a deal. That 10 is tradable still down the line with Purcell.
I'm just saying, I don't believe he's going to re-sign here. That's just.
I'm not looking at Phillips as an off-season deal. I'm looking at him down the line, and I'm really thinking about him for trade deadline time in 14. If you're looking for a guy, I'm just saying he's out there. He's the one guy you hear that's out there.
I like him.
Pistons open the NBA season on Wednesday. Wizards at the Palace. First road game will be at Memphis Friday for the first five in Auburn Hills. I'll tell you right off the bat, I go with 45 wins. That's what I've come up with as my number.
I'll say 47. They're going to get a sixth seed. And sixth seed, you said 45?
Yeah.
I'll say 46. Yes. I'm going to go down one. 46, sixth seed in the East. And I got the three teams from last year to me who are out, Boston, Milwaukee, and Atlanta. And I got moving up Detroit, Cleveland, and Washington.
The general managers on NBA.com picked the Pistons as to be the most improved team, but they got zero votes for best offseason moves, which I thought was strange because to say that they're most improved, wouldn't you have had to do things to make yourself most improved?
That doesn't make any sense.
But zero votes for it. Chauncey was voted the best active player to be a head coach someday.
No doubt about it. It's good to see Chauncey. I was out there media day. It's great to see him. I can't believe how long he's been in the league now.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I already said this last time, needs to improve that shooting. That's like the only hitch in the giddy-up was the way he shot in the preseason game.
Yeah, but they're going to work. And you know what's funny? I was watching the game the other day, and it was great. I actually tweeted about this to hear Kelser and Blaha, you know, just to hear them do a game. I watched the game, and Greg was talking a lot about that, just about what he needs to do, how he needs to. Don't always just take the three. Step in, Mark. Step in the line. Nobody's in front of you. Take two steps in and make an easier shot. And also take the ball to the hole a little bit to get you some easy baskets to get you going. So it's a rookie guy. You know, you got to let him get into it. I don't think he's going to be as bad as he was.
When are we going to see Gigi Datome?
The zip tie.
I want to see Gigi. Gigi's getting over his injuries right now. I watched this cat play in the European thing against Russia. Shot the lights out, scored 25 that day against Russia for Team Italy, and the Pistons got him. Luigi Datome, Gigi. I want to see him play before I make any determination he can play in the NBA, but Josh Smith, Brandon Jennings, Greg Monroe, Will Bynum, Jarebko, I thought they all played very well in the preseason. I was a little more encouraged after, even though they were, 4-4 in the preseason, you don't care about the record, to see the playing group.
This team is good. This team's going to be good, and I think people are going to be excited about watching them. I do. Drummond's a star, Mark. He's going to be a big
stud. 20 rebounds. He could be a 15-20 guy average.
He does all the stuff you want a big guy to do. Rebound. He dunks the basketball. He's not trying to be cute, dipsy doodle.
Dipsy doodle?
Rasheed Wallace.
Dipsy doo dunkaroo?
Rasheed Wallace is working with him, developing the big guy. I like it.
What are you, Dick Vitale?
No, Dick Vitale.
All right, let's make an early pick for June. If you had to say finals, would you go? I looked. I'm still going Miami, San Antonio, no, for lack of anything. With Denver as my sleeper team, with the Denver Nuggets, with Brian Shaw as head coach as my sleeper team now. Who do you think will be in June in the NBA finale?
I got Brooklyn against Houston. I got those two teams.
With those old people?
Yep.
They're a lot of old people.
Yeah, but there are...
Kevin Garnett's got a walker.
They're supporting players. They're not your main guys. I think that's...
Paul Pierce is using a Segway.
That's okay, but they're not the main...
I'm a court. He's got one of those things.
They're not the main guys, and those supporting guys are going to be better. When you think of... Mark, I don't think you really looked at Brooklyn's roster.
I have.
Kirilenko's old. Kirilenko's a really good player.
Kirilenko's kind of old, yeah.
Okay? And then you're also putting people back in their real positions. Brook Lopez is a real center. How many teams have a real center?
Not blowing my... You're Tiger managing me now.
He played really well. Go look at his numbers. You don't think so, but he played really well last year. And then you got KG back at power forward where he belongs. You got these other guys who can come in.
Got a hover round. What is that thing for the old people?
I know. Go ahead. You want me to do the old man jokes, you know? Pre-game meal consists of...
There you go. Come on. You haven't done that one in ages.
You know.
What's the Brooklyn Nets pre-game meal?
Right. Decaf coffee, sodium-free bacon, and a chest X-ray. There you go. How's that?
But I'm bummed. I wish I had a thing. So you're saying against Miami, though, right? Oh, no. You're saying over the Heat. Brooklyn out of the East. Who in the West?
Houston.
You said the Rockets? Boy, you got to show it to me, man. Dwight Howard's got to show it to me. Show it to me. You can play with Jeremy Lin and James Harden. Just show me you can play.
Harden is a stud. He was one of those GMs as the best player, one of the best two guards. Harden's a stud.
Rob, can I do an update, though, quickly on a couple of our favorite people, Dan and Marilyn Houser? Did you see the story about them?
No.
Yeah, Tom Walsh from the Free Press did a story about Dan and Marilyn, who left the Palace a couple of years ago in the Purge. Dan, I guess, had brain surgery. He was not doing very well at all. He had an aneurysm. So, you know, they're in their 50s. Anyhow, they went 2 years without finding work. It was a struggle for Dan and Marilyn. These were two people that owned the Palace. I mean, you can talk about Bill Davidson all you want and Joe Dumars, but Dan and Marilyn ran everything from almost basketball ops to all the concerts and stuff that went on inside the Palace itself. Well, Dan's doing better.
Thank God.
He got a job with the Philadelphia 76ers. They've moved to Philly. That's where Marilyn's from. Marilyn Houser's from there. What was she? Marilyn Desjardins, I think, was her maiden name. And Marilyn got a job at New Jersey's Prudential Center. So she's running. She's the vice president of the center itself and all the events outside of any sporting events. And Dan is now corporate sales, I believe, with the Philadelphia 76ers. So give it up to Dan and Marilyn for getting gigs.
So they can live in middle New Jersey.
Yes, that's what they're doing.
Live in middle New Jersey, and it's an hour and a half drive for each person. I mean, that's basically it.
So pretty lucky to get jobs, even though two different organizations... Still in the sporting world, but close enough.
Doing what they do.
Yeah,
right.
Close enough. College basketball begins this week. Number two MSU, number two in the country. Kentucky's number one, MSU 2, Louisville 3, Duke 4, Arizona 5. They'll play Grand Valley State exhibition on Tuesday. Number 9, Michigan plays Concordia. It's your first look at Gavin Schilling and Alvin Ellis III at Michigan State. Your first look at in Ann Arbor of Andrew Dokich. You know his name because his daddy is Dan Dokich, who played at Indiana for Knight and is also a sports radio freako from Indianapolis. Zach Irvin, who played high school ball with Gary Harris, Michigan State's Gary Harris, so there's a little MSU-Michigan rivalry there. And Derek Walton Jr., Detroit's very own. So we get to see those five names between the two schools will be very prevalent. Rob, what do you expect out of Tom Izzo and John Beilein in this 2013-14 campaign?
Neither will go to the NCAA finals.
What about Final Four?
Final Four.
Neither one.
No, neither one. And
Michigan a step back?
Yeah, you know they're going to have a step back. That year was incredible. Give them credit. They did really
credit?
Well. Give them credit. At Michigan State, I'm out on Michigan State. Just show me. I'm kind of tired of all the hype.
No.
And all
the, why don't you just say it?
No,
you're tired of Izzo.
No, I'm not.
So, you know what you are? You're thinking to yourself, how do these guys in East Lansing go to all these basketball games? And Tom Izzo, he's been there 18 years now. You know what? You don't like guys who coach or manage for very long times.
Yeah, without winning for over a decade, you're right.
I don't think you like anybody win. I don't think you. I think you like fresh names. You couldn't even pick a Tiger manager. You love Leland so much you can't pick a Tiger manager now.
No, but I picked the guy. I did. I just
pick a guy who's in the mix.
No, because I want them to get. I want them to get in the mix.
What do you have a? Why do you have a hard on for Ozzie Guillen? Seriously,
did I give my reasons last night on the show? What did I say?
Because of 2005.
No, but still, Mark, you say that. How many guys have won a championship? Not Tim Wallach or Lloyd McClendon. I don't have anything against Lloyd. If he gets the job, I'll be happy for him. But it's just like I was with
not Tim Wallach. Brad Osmond.
Like I said, the same thing when Mark Mayhew got the job at the Lions. Mark, it's not a what you call it. How do you get promoted when a franchise goes 0-16 and you're a part of it? You don't get promoted.
You can't just go for guys. If that's the case, can hire Tommy Lasorda. He's still alive.
He's 80.
So? You want guys?
He can't walk.
Someone said, why not Phil Jackson managing the Tigers? He's got plenty of rings. Is that enough rings for you? He managed the Tigers. How hard could it be?
Unbelievable.
Lineup changes and pitching. That's all it is. Red Wings have lost four in a row. Three
stink.
At Joe Louis Arena.
Stink.
Fell 3-2 in overtime to the Rangers on Saturday.
Who were ending a 9-game road trip, which tells you all you need. That should have been like up for dinner. You know what I mean? That should have been up to be able to.
Wait, what'd you say? The Wings stink? Is that what you said?
Yeah, they stink. They stink.
Their aggregate score in the four losses, and that's with Jimmy Howard in goal for all four. 15-5.
They stink. That's what they weren't losing one goal.
It's still 6-4 and whatever.
Stink.
Their next four games are all out west in Canada. Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, and Winnipeg. The Wings will not have a home game now until November 7th. They're 24th in the National Hockey League in goals per game with 2.3 a game.
What were you next
to? just going to hold a stink. At least you have controversy. You can't just say, hey, how great the Red Wings are now. All right, last thing. I wanted to get your opinion on this, and I've kind of waited to the end. And this has to do with, actually, we got the first black NASCAR driver to win anything in 50 years.
Yes, I saw that. The truck was it?
Trucks division.
Right.
He's 20 years old. His name is Darrell Wallace. And you know what Bill France and the NASCAR people are thinking? He's the Tiger Woods of NASCAR. That's what NASCAR is hoping. They'll get him into the Sprint Cup Series.
Trucks like that? I don't know.
No, but they'll get the movement in the Sprint Cup Series. You know, hey, Danica, it's been fun. We got the next one here. Darrell Wallace, he's good-looking, he's personable, he's 20. Robbie can't even get a drink legally yet.
Right, no, I saw the guy's interview and everything. I was impressed, and you're right. He has a look that you could sell and all that. It's not like he's some guy that people would be repulsed at. You know what I mean? There's a lot of that, whether it's fair or not. We know how it works, right? I think you're right.
To end it, though, this was what I wanted to bring up, and it had to do with Darrell Wallace. In our latest example of racism in this country, Julianne Hough, in her infinite wisdom, Julianne Hough, I use these words loosely, the actress dancer who used to go out with Ryan Seacrest, showed up at a Halloween party. Her costume was from the show Orange is the New Black. Do you know what that show is, Rob?
No.
Never heard of it. It's a Netflix show. It stars Laura Prepon. I'm a big Prepon fan. If you've listened to anything.
I'm a Poupon fan.
Great Poupon. Laura Prepon. It's about these chicks in jail. So Julianne Hough in blackface shows up with all the cameras going, paparazzi all over the place. Halloween costume is the orange jumpsuit from Orange is the New Black. She's in blackface. As black as, I mean, kind of like what you would do, but she looked really real. And she put her hair up. There's a character in the show called Crazy Eyes. Naturally, it's a crazy black woman that's called Crazy Eyes. White women are never called Crazy Eyes in these shows, but that's okay. She, of course, had to tweet her apology. This is what they do now. You make the mistake, you know it's stupid, and you tweet the apology. And then it's supposed to be okay. So now that you've heard, you didn't know the story at all, right?
I didn't see the story.
And you know, Julianne Hough, no offense, oh yes, offense, doesn't get any whiter. I mean, she's a blonde, white girl that Ryan Seacrest would be in love with for those years. When you hear that, since you didn't see the picture, which you really have to see to really show you what went on there, what do you say?
It's so simple. Going back, Ted Danson showed up in blackface.
Ted Danson, 20
years ago.
20 years ago.
15, 20.
20 years ago, 93.
It wasn't acceptable then. It's not acceptable. So why would you even do it? Unless you're having, Mark, you're a private citizen, and you're having a party in your basement, and you're not going to put any pictures on Facebook or whatever, why would you do it? You just put yourself in a bad spot. That's all I'm saying. It's dumb.
And Julianne Hough kind of played it up, too. Because there's video of her. There's video of her with all the cameras going into the party with her brother Derek Hough. And they're going in.
And they thought they were cute. She thought she was cute.
Yeah. Okay. Thought she was doing. She was, and she did the googly eyes. She did. It's crazy eyes. I'm not making it up. That's the name of the show. Orange is the New Black. It's on Netflix. Laura Prepon's the star.
Why did she just tie her hair in a rag and go as Aunt Jemima?
Well, she put her hair up like a black woman would do in the South, and you know, in these like little ponytail
things.
What was
the last time you looked at Aunt Jemima, the pancake mix? And look at, did you ever look at the picture of her?
Sure.
Okay, they spruced her up. They took the rag off her.
Yeah, didn't look spruced at all.
She's spruced up. She got lipstick on.
She's got lipstick
that's a
on.
Now. Woman now.
Julianne Hough, way to go. All right, that's going to do it. Again, Parker and the Man at yahoo.com. First one to email with a Rob Parkerism gets the ESPN Detroit T-shirt. Check us on Twitter at Parker and the Man. What do you got?
That's it. And make sure you check out the shadowleague.com. And you can read my column, fresh columns, and also click on Detroit.com every Monday and Friday. I have a fresh column up on there as well.
Happy Halloween. Be careful. Be scareful and all that stuff. Woo, spooky. He's Rob Parker.
He is the man, Mark Wilson. We'll see you next week on this podcast.
So say your thing at the end and let's get out of here.
I don't know if I really want to say
it. Maybe say go get podcasted. That's where's right. That? Hey, why don't you do that instead at the end?
Hey, Mark.
What?
Go get podcasted.
Parker and the Man. Hey, Parker, don't be discouraged.